Well, when a lot of us were born, personal computers didn't even exist. Today, of course, they're totally ubiquitous, and they're making more and more jobs obsolete. Today, it's McDonald's employees. Tomorrow, it will be millions of truck and taxi drivers with self-driving cars. Eventually, it will be lawyers and physicians and so on. Will it ever be newspaper columnists and cable news anchors? Ah, we're praying not. Joining us now is New York Times opinion columnist Thomas Friedman, author of Thank You for Being Late, An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in the Age of Acceleration. Tom Friedman, thanks a lot for coming on.
Great to be here.
You're very optimistic in this book. And I appreciate that because I love optimism. But I wondered as I read it, are people wired from an evolutionary standpoint to digest this pace of change?
No, there's no question, Tucker, that what's going on in globalization, in technology in particular, is now faster than the average rate at which humans and societies can adapt. And I think people are feeling that
right.
sense of acceleration. One of my favorite quotes in the book is from John Kelly. He ran the IBM Watson project. And he said to me when I was working on the book, he said, you know, Tom, when you buy a car, it comes with a sticker on the rear view mirror. It says objects in your rear view may be closer than they appear. That actually belongs on your front windshield now, because it's the stuff coming at us
right.
that's actually coming faster than you think. In fact, I had an experience in this book I've never had before. I've written about technology before. I felt I had a butterfly net, and I was chasing a butterfly, and every time I got close, it moved. I had to interview the head of Intel at least 3 times in writing this book just to make sure nothing changed from 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
And so I was actually living that pace of change.
So, I mean, it's no one person's fault, of course, though I do think a lot of us are very insensitive to its consequences, among them the political, and especially the political consequences. So the last time we had a big technological disruption, the Industrial Revolution, we got 70 years of totalitarian Marxism out of that, a response to that. This is a more profound change.
Yes.
I mean, how can you be hopeful about the political consequences?
A good question. It certainly is more profound because it's hitting a white collar and blue collar
right.
at the same time. And yet today, even with all of that going on, we have about 4.5% unemployment. Yes, our people have dropped out of the labor force. But I'm optimistic because we've actually done this before. Remember, almost 100% of us used to live and work on farms, and they worked in factories, and people worked in factories. They found service jobs, then knowledge jobs. So obviously, we've done this before. This is going to be harder, okay? There's no question about it. But I think I have a huge faith in American creativity. I was at a conference a few months ago. A woman was there. I said, what's your job? She said her job was tagging sharks for Twitter. I said, I mean, who in the world ever thought there'd be a job tagging sharks for Twitter? I certainly didn't. The point is, Tucker, you'll never see it coming. You'll never see these new jobs coming. But if we remain open and flexible, which is absolutely our value add as a country, I believe we're going to find a whole set of jobs that you can't imagine. A lot of them, Tucker, will be people dealing with people. I wrote last week about my friend Dove Seidman's idea that, you know, first we work with our hands, then we work more with our heads. Now we're going to work more with our hearts, okay? That is people dealing with people. The fastest growing restaurant chain in America in 2015 I wrote about is called Paint Night. It's people who conduct paint by numbers, basically, classes
right.
for adults in bars. Whoever thought there'd be a business doing that? But it turns out people really want to be with people. You know, I have an interview with the Surgeon General in there, Vivek Murthy, and I asked him, what's the most prevalent disease in America? Is it heart disease? Is it diabetes? Is it cancer? He said it's isolation. Well, think about that. We live in the most technological age, but the Surgeon General says there are huge numbers of us, people feeling isolated. And I think connecting people to people will be a huge job.
Maybe technology leads to isolation.
And I think it does.
That may be part of it.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you still it's easy for us who are thriving,
right.
relatively speaking,
yes.
in this economy. But the idea that people who are displaced by technology are going to seamlessly or at all find a place in this new order is really hard to believe. You can teach a farmer to run a drill press.
Right.
You can't teach one to write code or a cable news
right.
host to write code. You just can't. So what about those people?
Because my point is, I don't think that's what we're going to be the cutting edge of the jobs. I think the best jobs actually are going to be these people-to-people jobs. Yes, some people write code. Unfortunately, computers will soon be writing a
exactly.
lot of that code. And so I think we're going to see a whole new set of jobs and industries really around the heart, around connecting people to people, maybe through restaurants, through entertainment. Think of our generation, how many people are going to need elder care as the baby boomers, you know, retire. So I'm much more optimistic about
that. But here's what I'm glad you're optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I'm glad that somebody is. I don't understand at a moment of change this profound why you would want to add demographic and cultural and economic change on top of economic change.
Yeah.
And I know it benefits a small number of employers
right.
who want cheaper labor.
Sure.
But why would you want to let in low-skilled labor, no promise of participating in this new economy?
Yeah.
How does that help anybody?
Well, you know, my view on sort of openness in general is that I say in the book and have always said, I'm for a high wall with a big gate, okay, which is I believe a country has to control its borders, all right?
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in that. But I also believe what has made America great is that we have attracted more high IQ risk takers than any country in the world, and high energy risk takers, okay? They may be lower skilled, but high energy. That's what's made
shouldn't
us great.
Shouldn't we screen for them? Because our current immigration
sure,
system just says if you have a relative here, you get to come. Shouldn't we say, wait a second, are you impressive or not?
That may be. I'm really agnostic on how we best, you know, bring in these people. But what I would hate to see us do, Tucker, is to close off America as this giant magnet. We are who we are as a country because we've attracted more of these risk takers. My great-grandparents and somewhere your great-grandparents who left somewhere bad and came to somewhere they thought were better. You know, an Armenian friend of mine likes to say that new immigrants are paranoid optimists.
Yeah.
They're paranoid, they're optimists because they came from somewhere bad to somewhere they hope were better, but they're always paranoid. They're afraid that it can be taken away from them, and that makes them enormously energetic. We've got to balance that, obviously. I'm not for opening the borders.
No, I get it. I myself am a refugee from California, so I know. I know the feeling. Tom Friedman, thank you for being latest book. Thanks all for joining us.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, Tucker.